There was a paddle boarder on the river. I'm not sure he knew the laws, but he broke the law. Their boat weighed 900 pounds just with the people in it. Hard to move that thing quickly. And the big boats have right away, the kayaks, they can just move out of the way quickly. Well, he stayed in the way. So my daughter Tamara, who was guiding, he's right in front of her. She has to make the decision, do I crush him? Do I go over him and take a chance on it, he'll survive or whatever? Or do I try to avoid him? She tried to avoid him. They're on a big wave. The boat flips. And normally that's not a big deal. But the professional, and yeah, it used to be, that we rented a lot of the gear from, gave many of them, Bailey and Jonathan and others, inadequate equipment. And so normally when you fall into the river, you're just fine, as cold as it is. But it was too cold. Their boots leaked and different things like that. And so exhausting and cold, and they got back late. And I'm edified. The spiritual message is, I'm just edified that you're both here this morning. I wondered if you'd make it at all, but here you are, not enough sleep, and you lift my spirit. So I'm glad you're here. We're going on our fourth in the series of our greatest gift to God, and it has to do with the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. We're going back to Luke 10. It's in three different places in the Gospels. Today we're going to focus on, did it work, Bill? No, so we'll just won't use it today. That's all right. Today we're going to be looking at loving God with all of our strength. So, I wonder if there's a single person in here that didn't know the greatest commandment in the Bible. If you're in your 30s or 40s, is there anybody in here? Don't raise your hand. Anybody here that didn't know it decades ago? I mean, it's core, right? And everybody knows it. Almost everybody knows it. And if this is new to someone online or in our building here, praise God for that. Praise God. But my intent wasn't to, the intent of the series wasn't to just explain, here's the greatest commandment, because you've known that before. In fact, it's so critical to our lives as Christians that God made this command really clear, really understandable. We all get it, you know. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we get it. And the message is, you know, give him your all and put him above everything. And you've known that for a long time. So that wasn't the goal today. The goal today was to be Bible detectives. For instance, forensic scientists in Bible study, if I may, and to take this key command and break it down into more bite-sized, understandable chunks, because as I did this for the first time ever, I'm going, whoa, I didn't realize that, and today will be no exception, and oh, look at that, and so the goal for us, and the reason this series is to mature Christians for the most part, it's because there's more to know, more of God to know about, more to love him more than we do now. And this greatest commandment, the most important commandment in all the Bible, is it's foundational to our very life. It affects, for the believer, the way we think. It affects the way we make decisions, how we handle inner personal relationships, how we act at work. Every aspect of life, in fact, I'll just ask you this without raising your hand. Can you think of a single aspect of any part of your life that the greatest commandment doesn't affect, doesn't impact? And so if I were sitting where you were, I'd be going, yeah. How about the way we breathe? No, it affects the way you breathe. In him, we have our very being. We move and breathe. And how about the way we eat? Yeah. We eat with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And with thanks. And it's one of the ways we sanctify our food. And okay, how about sleeping? No, it affects sleeping. Psalms 127. He gives sleep to his righteous. In fact, it says he gives to them in their sleep. So even when God's righteous are sleeping, God is working in your life behind this. Everything. I don't believe there's a single aspect of your life that isn't affected in a positive way if you follow the greatest commandment, or in a negative way if you don't. And so, because it's the most important, and I haven't said these words, but I've said similar things each time, because this is the greatest, I just think I should have it down better in my head, and maybe others could use growth on this idea as well. So that's the motivation for our series right now. So anyway, we want to be Bible detectives and just break this commandment down like all others. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:9. And I'm throwing this out there because not only the vast majority of you know the greatest commandment, but you live by it. It's part of who you are, and you give it great value. And yet, there's a principle here in 1 Thessalonians 4:9 that applies to this as well as everything in Christianity. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And then he says they do it. He says, for indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. Praise God. But look at what he says next. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. You're doing it. Good job. Do it more. Is there any aspect of Christianity, there isn't for me, that we can't grow in? And that's Paul's message here. So thus, the greatest commandment that we're looking at now. So a couple of quick things on this, and then we'll move on. So we looked at it. We said the heart. And so what does it mean to love God with all your heart? Now, a lot of people, including me, probably would have said, well, that's loving him. I'm outside the borders here. Sorry, cameraman. Loving God, Lord, that's where your emotions are. No. Loving God with all your heart includes your emotion, but that's not what this is about. We looked at scriptures 3 weeks ago, on what it means to love God with all your heart. And it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Loving God with all your heart means making him your greatest treasure. Emotions can follow, but this is about what you value the very most. It's not about emotions. They come. And that's new for some people because I've asked people and talked to people. How about the mind? If we say, well, I want to love God with all my mind. I want to do what Jesus says there. If we do that, if we choose to love God with all of our mind, what would change? What would we do differently than we're doing right now? Because we love him now. But if we do it with all of our mind and step it up, how would that be different for you, Linda, or me, or Stephanie? What would that require to love him with all of our mind and excel so more? So we talked about those things, but that's why I wanted to look into this. Because Mike Brenneman needs growth in this, and I'm just assuming others may as well. Today, the concept of loving God with all of your strength. And surprise, surprise, another hidden gem, at least for me, another eye-opener. What's happening here is when Jesus states this command three times, the greatest, most important command three times, Matthew 22, Mark 12, Luke 10. But he's drawing off of Deuteronomy 6, where God first spoke it to the Israelites. He's drawing off of that. And look what it has to say. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Some of your Bibles, like the King James, say, with all your strength. And so we get that, right? You just whatever your hand finds you to do with all your might. And if that's what you got out of it, great. That's included. But surprise, surprise, the word might or strength well, there's none here, but over there. The word strength, that's a noun. How much strength does he have? Did you need strength to do that job? Strength is a noun. This word is not. This word might. Look, they got the guy idea down, but the translators have to take a difficult language, Hebrew, and difficult concepts, and they have to put it into the English language. So they put down might. But the Jewish word, and here's our theology, but only 2 minutes, two or three minutes today. The Jewish word for might is me'od or me'od. I'm not sure. I don't speak Hebrew. But it says, do it with all your me'od. And this word is used more than 200 times in the Old Testament, a very important word. And I think maybe one other time the translators translated strength or might. It's rarely used for strength or might because that's really not what it means. So let's take a look together. So do it with all your ma'od, ma'od. So I said that. It means do it exceedingly. It's an adverb. Do it exceedingly. Even if you don't like grammar, an adverb, it modifies or clarifies the verb. So you do these things exceedingly. And so let's take a look at an action. Genesis chapter 1. You're well aware of this one. Great place. We're studying Genesis now. But verse 4 says, God saw that the light he created in 6 days, the whole creation. So chapter 4, verse 4. God saw that the light was good. And then verse 10, God saw that it was good. And same thing, 12, good. And every time he created something, God said that it was good. But on the sixth day, after he created mankind, when his creation work was done, was it because of us, the crown jewel? Look, I know I'm a nobody, but God says I'm somebody just like you. Jesus died for us, right? It was the plan from before he made the earth, 1 Ephesians 1:4, to be able to adopt us as children through Jesus Christ. Is that why? But the point is this. Look at what he says after the whole creation is done. God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. What do you suppose that word very, what Hebrew word do you suppose it is? Ma'od. That's right. When he made the earth, and all that he made, it says, behold, and it was exceedingly good. Very is a good word, but exceedingly is much more powerful. And that's what that word means, according to Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and the guys who really know the Hebrew well, exceedingly. Or one of the words they use I've never heard before is ma'od can mean muchness. It was good muchness. I've never even heard the word. I looked it up, and yeah, it's an English word, but I've never heard anybody use it. Exceedingly muchness good is this word in use. Here's another one. Genesis 4:4. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. What Hebrew word do you suppose that word is for very? Ma'od again. And Cain became exceedingly angry. That's that word. Exceedingly. Over the top, God says, better be careful. Didn't control his anger, didn't know his right, killed his brother. But ma'od, exceedingly, ma'od angry, exceedingly angry. So back to Deuteronomy 6:5, where Jesus gets the greatest commandment. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your ma'od. You shall do these things exceedingly. The loving him with your heart, the loving him with your soul, exceedingly. That's, the Jews got it. We have to read a translation, and we get it, but maybe not quite as powerfully as we could. It means exceedingly. So when we're told, let's see, am I going to get to that next? Luke 10:27 today, and he, Jesus, answered this scribe what the greatest commandment was. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and with all your mind. Your neighbors, yourself, your soul. I think that's a typo. It is. I wish I could erase it right now. But look at right after soul, and with all your strength. He's saying love him exceedingly. Nothing else compares. He's our treasure. Amen. We love him exceedingly. We can love other things and other people. We've talked about that in one of the earlier lessons. But we love God over the top, over everything else. We love him exceedingly. It's interesting that in Matthew 22, the first time Jesus gives the greatest commandment, that he doesn't mention strength. It just says you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It doesn't say ma'od. It doesn't say it exceedingly. But in Luke 27 and Luke 10 and Mark 12, he says heart, soul, mind, and exceedingly. My question is this, why didn't Matthew mention it? Was Jesus being incomplete? When he said, did he leave out one of the four aspects? Are there four aspects? Or are there three that are clarified by the word exceedingly? Now look, my opinion, study it hard. You may see it differently. You may have a better idea than me. But I said to myself, how do you love God with all your strength when you already love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? The strength that the might or the strength that Jesus uses right there, there's a really good chance it's explaining how we're to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. How we do it. So how do you do it? Well, I think just exceedingly, but there's a few things that would be involved maybe that I think we could tie in. If we love God exceedingly, wouldn't that be with zeal? Zeal, as I lost, it means fervor, real intenseness, focus, devotion, fire. A person that's zealous could be said they're on fire. I think zeal would be one of the ways we could love God with all of our strength when it comes to using our mind, soul, and heart. Again, I'm thinking it modifies it. If it doesn't, so be it. It still means exceedingly. It still means do it with great intensity. So, and I've already defined that, but zeal means, according to Bedag, intense positive interest in something or negative interest, but that doesn't apply to us. So how can we love God with all of our strength? With zeal, for one. Number two, ma'od, exceedingly. That word clarifying mind, heart, soul, love, being at the very top right there. I don't know if you've got anything out of this series or not, but being the preacher, I'm fortunate I have to think about it deeply. And it's blessed me. I hope it has you. I go through the day and I just tell God, I say, I love you. And I want it's a show, the way I think and act and deal with people. And I'm gonna and there's a lot more to this, but again, I'm not trying to do a four lesson series just on strength, just to bring out the fullness that is clearly there. I'm loving him with all of our strength. I'm gonna also conclude this series this morning, and it's way earlier. Must have had really short songs. I loved your singing, your songs. But how are we going to remember these things? I mean, I don't know for you, but I've wanted to capsulize the idea of how to do each one of the three or four aspects of loving God in a way that I could remember a couple years from now. So for me, I say, if we're loving God with all my heart, He's my treasure. He's the one thing. I treasure you, God. I'm loving you all. I treasure you. That would be the concept I would love to give out. If we love Him with all of our soul, I cling to you. Remember we read when we studied soul that it says, I lift up my soul, O God. I lift up my soul to you. I'm yours. I give you all of me. The inner person that's going to live forever. The person that if you take me home, is going to be your child in your presence. And I lift up my soul to you, Father, the part of me that is eternal. With my mind, I think about you. You're on my mind constantly. Being human beings, I've already qualified it several times. We're going to have distractions. God knows that. But our walk of life is this, that when I have to make a decision, what did the Bible say? What kind of blessing does God give in His instructions regarding this or that that I have to decide on? I want to think about Him when I'm driving, when we're whitewater rafting, whatever we're doing. I want to be appreciative and focused and have my thoughts dwell on the Father. Oh, sorry, and strength. And whether it's a separate category or whether all of our strength describes loving God with heart, mind, and soul, I put serve God with enthusiasm, with fire, with zeal, with all of our strength, love the heart, mind, and soul of God. So, what is the result? Let's try that again. What is the result of actively living out the most important command? What results happen? Number one, God longs for this. He gave us the very best. Not only did He give us the mountains and the wild rivers we went down yesterday and health and intelligence and loved ones, He gave everything. He gave the greatest gift He could ever give us, and that's Jesus. He held back nothing from us, and He's just asking us for the same. Don't hold back. Just love me. All of your strength, heart, mind, soul. Love me with all of that. He longs for this. It's the greatest gift we can give God, is to love Him in this way. Number two, this kind of love, and I don't even need to say it, I'm sure, but this kind of love is sacrificial. It costs something. You're here and you could be sleeping. You're here and you could be playing golf. You're here and you could be on the Wenatchee River whitewater rafting. To do that, to put Him at the top, means other things that used to be at the top aren't there anymore. It costs something. You have to decide what, I have to decide what the true treasure is in my life. So there's a cost involved, even though salvation is free, living for God. Jesus said, count the cost. You can't be my disciple unless you hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children. There's a cost. And when we freely give it, it's that special free will gift we talked about, sacrificial, loving, and it pleases God in return. Not only Jesus, but Jesus says in John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. What are the results of loving God with everything? Pleasing God, having an abundant life that people without God cannot know. Just cannot know it. That knowledge you mentioned this morning in your class, Bill, that surpasses understanding. And the peace, Philippians 4:7, that surpasses our comprehension. But He gives it to us anyway. And then lastly, when we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, I put down that it's evangelistic. There's a whole bunch more aspects to this, but I'm just going to do three. When we love God this way with intensity, It wins souls. I would say it's responsible. Maybe God would have found another avenue. But when I finally said, okay, there's a God, and I believe the Bible is His word, I've said it, but I said, where do I start? Where do I start? What church do I go to? There's so many. And I didn't know. But I remember the church, the group of people that I went to just twice before I was a Christian. I said, I'm starting with them. Their zeal, their love for God and each other was obvious. And it moved me. And I said, man, that seemed like a rational, and they preached the Bible. So I started there, and it affects people. It affects people. And it wins people. In 1 Peter 1:12, Peter says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Now, in this case, the Gentiles mean the non-Christians. Keep your behavior excellent among them. How come? Well, you'll see, because it wins souls. Keep your behavior excellent among them so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, those Christians, in the things in which they slander you, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day. To glorify God is good. It means they, through Don or Joel or Sue, must be something behind that. You know, when people see excitement in our lives, they may not be excited about the same thing. You know, maybe no one wants to fly fish except me. But when they see excitement in their life, they know what's important to you. And when they see that it changed your life, if they'd known you a while, and you're still growing in Jesus, they say, what's that all about? I've always bad-mouthed Joel behind his back at work, and he's a prude, and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. But as they observe, these are not friends. These are the people that slander us. It means with the intent to do harm. But as they keep watching, they go, man, he loves God, and it's sacrificial, and people don't do that for, most people don't do that for trivial things. They're locked on and locked into things that are highly valuable to them. So as they see us and how we deal with them and other people and make decisions and are on time and treat everybody with respect and don't cheat on our boss behind his back and all this, and they seem really happy. And they will glorify God in the day of visitation. Seems to be very clear that when we are lights and salt, and we do this right here, that it can bring people to God. At least it's a positive influence in the right direction. So I'm just throwing out one that maybe you haven't thought about, but loving God with all the heart, mind, and soul is evangelistic in nature as well as blesses us with overflowing good things. So, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the end of our series. I thank you for that. I'd love to hear your thoughts if you have some that I haven't brought out. Next week, we'll move on to the second greatest commandment, probably just 1 week long, but loving your neighbor as yourself. So with that, we're going to offer an invitation. We're going to sing the song of invitation led by Don. And if you have a spiritual need, please come forward. Let us know what that is as we stand and sing. Thank you so much.